Blog Talk Radio.
This is a domestic situation, and this is an international situation. But the war on women is a forever situation. It's not new, but now it's being talked about. By a lady who's been in journalism most of her life, and by a woman who just wrote a book called I Want, which she'll be out there signing books for 25 lucky recipients. But when I bought the book to get to know what she wrote about and all the hype, her book teaches you a lesson. I have many friends and loved ones that are recovering alcoholics, drug addiction, whatever. And I'll tell you, reading that book, now I know what my mom went through for 35 years. So she taught me something, and now we've taught her something. I think I heard her say she was going to join Soroptimus in New York. But at any rate, it is my honor and pleasure to honor Jane Velez Mitchell with our Ruby Award recipient, and we hope that she goes on to win the Federation Award as well. Jane?
I'm really humbled. I have heard such honesty today from this woman right here. You the bomb, girl. You the bomb. I talk about being a recovering alcoholic, and that's part of my journey. But for you to get up and talk about what you did in such detail, it's amazingly courageous. Amazingly courageous. And I don't know that I have much more to add to what was said here today. I really learned a lot. I didn't bring a speech because you've heard a lot of them. But I have to say, on a personal note, I get very sad and depressed night after night covering these horrific stories that are mind-boggling in their cruelty. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I think, where's Morgan Harrington? You know, where's Morgan Harrington that we covered? She went to a Metallica concert, and she disappeared. And her parents are desperate. And I've talked to her parents and other parents like them. And I literally wake up in the middle of the night, and I think all these poor young women and their desperate, horrified parents stuck in a living nightmare. And Rosie Franco is another one who does all these incredible reports on these parents. And she just spent the weekend with the Kessies, Jennifer Kessie. And we've also covered that story. Disappeared. And imagine the torture day in and day out these parents are going through. And Melissa, I'm glad if I came here for no other reason than to hear that you need help finding your daughter. That was reason enough to take a 10-hour flight across country, because we're going to do what we have to do to try to find your daughter. So talk to me after this, because I want to get your information, your email, your phone number. We want to do your story. Sometimes I think, well, so we talk about solutions. I don't want to just cover crime for the sake of crime. No, I don't care. It's not worth it. It has to be. We have to talk about the solution. Otherwise, we are part of the pornography of violence. And when I think about solutions, I always think we need more matriarchal values. We need women to start bringing matriarchal values into the equation. Everything has to change from the top down, from the bottom up. We need a revolution that's an evolution, and women are the ones that are going to have to do it. And guess what? You're the women who are going to do it, and you're doing it right now.
And I didn't know what, I didn't even know, I was like, sore what? What the heck is, what if, I just knew Michelle Bart wanted me to go to this, and she thought it was important, and I said, I've never been to Portland. I'll be honest with you. I said, I would love to see Portland. But I've learned a lot here today, and I really feel that Sore Optimist is the solution. Sore Optimist is the solution, people. And I'll tell you why. It's an amazing framework that's already in existence where women can come, and it's not affiliated with Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, so we don't have to worry about all that BS. And we can just get together as women and the men who love them and join forces, flex our muscle, and demand change. Are we ready to demand change? Are we ready to go to Washington and march on Washington and say, enough! Enough with the violence against women! Are we ready? I'm joining Sore Optimist when I get back to New York. I told Rosie, I said, you're joining, right? You're going to join? We've got to get other women together, and we've got to use this framework as the basis for organizing to demand change. This is not being discussed as a culture. We're discussing terrorism, we're discussing health care, but the thing that hits us closest to home, the psychological burqa that I and every other woman in this country has to wear when we walk down a street or when we walk our dogs or when we put our kids into a school bus, nobody is talking about that. We're pointing the finger at other countries, and we're living in fear as women here in the United States. And if women don't start talking about it, they ain't going to talk about it. You know that. But we're still doing the male dialogue. And we're talking about all these political issues. Let's set the agenda, women. Are we ready to set the agenda? And I love this lady right here, the head Sore Optimist. And I'm going to work with the head Sore Optimist. And we're going to go and we're going to put her on issues and put some of these other people doing this amazing work on issues, and we're going to do everything we can to be part of the solution and to move this world forward. This is more than just a specific issue. Really, we're talking about evolution and compassion for the powerless, which is really the litmus test for a society's level of evolution. And so I ask all of you, as you feel compassion for women and children, please expand that compassion as well to animals. Let's speak for the voiceless. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Voices for Justice. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, tonight, February 1st, 2010. You have just been listening to Jane Velez Mitchell, host of Issues on HLN, while recently at the annual Human Trafficking Conference in Portland, Oregon, a couple weeks ago. She was honored with the Sore Optimist Ruby Award for having a voice for women and girls and being a leader in the media for keeping the war on women in the public eye. Well, tonight we're going to continue exploring the war on women with human traffic survivor Jerry Williams, Clear Channel Radio reporter and host of Inside Focus, Rosie Franco, and psychologist and host of The Dale Archer Show, Dr. Dale Archer. Our guests will be taking your calls in a few minutes. The call-in number is 347-838-8622. Again, that number is 347-838-8622, or you can also join us live in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. There is a war on women, folks, and tonight we are so honored and thrilled to have Jerry Williams, Dr. Dale Archer, and Rosie Franco with us. Are you folks with us, Rosie, Dr. Dale?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Dale?
I'm here, Michelle.
And Jerry Williams, are you with us?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Jerry, let's start with you. On January 9th, all of you took part at the Northwest Coalition Against Trafficking here in Portland. But for you, 20 years later, after surviving your horrible ordeal, what's it like being a speaker and advocate for the victims and survivors that need your voice the most?
Well, it's incredibly surreal to see the amount of people turn out for such an important issue. It was amazing. You know, 20 years ago, walking on the streets of Portland, I never would have imagined that this event ever would have happened, that that many people cared and that that many people wanted to move forward. And we've been working on the issue here in Portland a little bit, but to hear especially the number that Portland is number two in the country for human trafficking is an alarming thing and really got people excited to work on this issue and get busy.
What was it like for you as a survivor being in a room where you met Melissa Baum, whose daughter, Lindsay Baum, was kidnapped and abducted? We don't know if she was trafficked, but there's a possibility. And being in a room of individuals that care enough to rescue other women and girls like yourself 20 years ago, what's the feel like?
Very well, it was exciting, and at the same time it was very heart-wrenching, especially to hear Bill Hiller's story of his daughter who was taken away and trafficked and lost her life. And so we have a long way to go. It's one of the scariest things you can ever imagine. Now, you know, 20 years ago my children were young. Now I have grandchildren, and it is just, it's a scary, scary thing as we watch these young women disappearing, and to know that the average age of the girls out on the streets in Portland, and well, nationally, is around 13, is a horrifying thing, and it really pushes you to want to work even harder to come up with solutions that is going to change this.
I'm glad you mentioned William Hiller. For folks listening that are in the Portland, Oregon, or Vancouver, Washington area, tonight at 7 p.m., you can also hear from Dr. Hiller. If you go to Kell's in Portland downtown, he will be joined by another survivor, a Sroptimus member, Jessica Richardson, and they will be speaking during the human trafficking series down there that the City Club of Portland and Oath puts on. Dr. Hiller's story, for many of you that are listening, the movie Taken with Liam Neeson is a true story based partially on his life. But unfortunately, in Hollywood, they make it happy. His story didn't end happy. The two girls that are portrayed in the movie, his daughter and her friend, were actually murdered. And this is reality, folks. This is reality. And everyone listening out there knows that I try to reel in, if you will, the media every chance we get when we have a story we believe needs to be on the front lines. And the war on women happens to be one of those causes very near and dear to my heart. Now, Rozzy Franco, you joined us in the midst of highlighting the Sarah Cruzan case out in California. And you came on, and boy, have you steamrolled into this. And I got to give you kudos, and also kudos to Clear Channel Radio for having a voice for women. What's it been like for you in such a short time to actually dive into a subject matter as a reporter and as a woman?
Sure. First of all, I want to thank you and, I really appreciate the opportunity that you gave me to come out there and really get educated on this topic. I had been looking up information, whatever's out there on YouTube, but I learned so much more when I went to Portland. And like you said, in the short time that I learned about this topic, I knew this. There was a small calling for me here to actually be a force in this movement. And learning that Florida is actually number three on the list just kind of brought me in even further. And as you know, as I spoke to you and I did the first show, Inside Focus, with the parents of Jennifer Kessie, the 24-year-old that went missing back in 2006. They believe she was trafficked, and I gave them the opportunity to talk. And what I did there is I localized it, and I said, listen, folks, this is right next to us, okay? This is right underneath us. Look, this is a possibility. This is why. And I gave them the opportunity to list all of the reasons that she could have been trafficked, and also what to look for. You know, there's certain signs to look for, and folks really just need to pay attention to those signs. And for me, it's just an absolute joy. I became part of the Florida Human Trafficking Coalition, and I'm officially a Soroptimist on Wednesday.
I am proud of you, girl. Soroptimist means the best for women, and you are definitely one of those women that are the best for women, and we sure do welcome you with open arms. But as a reporter, I know that many, many people listening and many people that do reach out to audiences every day, they do so because it's their job to cover the story. And sometimes there's just that one subject matter that tends to hit home. And I know that in America, the dark secret of America is human trafficking. We do not want to face the fact that it's in our backyard, but it took a beautiful five-year-old little girl by the name of Shania Davis to open our eyes. And now all of a sudden, there's a PSA running today with two past presidents talking on human trafficking because the devastation in Haiti and everything's happening over there with human trafficking. And that's going on around the world and right here. As a reporter, Rosie, what's it like to actually live it, learn
it's more,
it, speak to Jerry Williams, you know, and get to know survivors up front?
Right. It's more than a story. It becomes part of your life. And it's really interesting. You played that speech by Jane, and she said you wake up and you go, where is Morgan Harrington? And you feel it. It becomes a part of you. And it just becomes a part of you, and you have to do something about it. So it's more than just covering the story. It's more than just getting the information out to the people. It's like pounding the information out to the people, and it's almost like you feel bad. I'm really sorry that this is a problem out there, guys, but if we don't get it to you, you won't know about it.
Exactly. And Morgan Harrington, the young lady that you speak of that went to a Metallica concert, to our listeners, her remains were found last week. And to watch Jane have to report that on her show, and how you could see her demeanor as a reporter and an anchorwoman keep her ability to not fall apart is it's heart-wrenching.
Wow.
And that is what's going on here. That young lady went to a concert, and the next minute, you know, her remains are found. So the war on women is happening. Dr. Dale Archer, what do we
yeah.
do about not only as a reporter or journalist and listeners listening, but when you pick up the newspaper every day and you know what's going on, how do we have that ability to block it out of our subconscious so that we can actually get some sleep when we know in reality that there are many women and girls out there not getting sleep because they're being forced to do something against their will?
Well, Michelle, thanks for having me on the show. And, you know, I am a huge believer in education, and I think that this is the start of change. What we are doing now, raising the awareness to the public, is what starts the ball in motion that eventually institutes change. And I think that what we have to do, and every time I talk about this topic, I go over these statistics because I think that we have to keep saying them over and over and over again until people finally realize, and we have studies that show it takes 20 times of hearing a new piece of information that is completely unknown to you before you start taking action on that. But the stats are this. 27 million people in the world today are considered slaves. 800,000 plus victims are kidnapped every year for human trafficking purposes. 200,000 victims every year are in the United States of America. 200,000. Women make up over 80% of the total. Children under the age of 18 make up 50% of the total. This occurs in 161 countries around the world, and it is an ongoing problem that brings an estimated $40 billion a year profit to individuals that are involved in this trade. So I think that, again, every time I talk about it, I bring these stats up, and I'm going to keep bringing them up because I always like to compare this to drunk driving, which back in the early 80s, was 70s, was not talked about, not considered to be a problem. And then there was a lady by the name of Candy Leitner who lost her daughter to a drunk driver and decided to make a difference and founded MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. In 82, there were 30,000 casualties from drunk drivers. Last year, there were 13,000. So that is how you make a difference. You change the laws. You go to the politicians. You basically increase the sentences. And it's a groundswell movement that eventually, if we take that tact with human trafficking, and I know my friend Jane Velez is always saying, that's not enough, we have to do more. I said, Jane, we got to start somewhere, and this is where you start. You start with education.
You know, I really like what Dr. Joe Archer said as far as groundswell, because that really hits home for me. And, you know, it's really interesting, Michelle, I'm covering this case on the life of Sarah Kuzan, and the state Senator Yee out there is really trying to push legislation and really trying to get some awareness out there on human trafficking, and he's shot down by the governor constantly. That is not unusual. We see it here. We see it with our Florida lawmakers. We're number three in the country, and it is tough to be a reporter and an activist. So, I mean, just in having said that, you just have to constantly call your lawmakers, and it takes more than just us. It takes just the lay people that have an interest and a concern for their own families.
All of you have mentioned a few things I want to touch on. When Rozzy says you need to call your lawmakers, that is true. United States Senator Ron Wyden has just dropped a bill in the Senate on human trafficking. And this particular conference we did in Portland was great for his audience because the folks at this conference were not all from Portland. They came from 11 states to this conference. And so we're asking all of our listeners out there, Google, good search, Senator Ron Wyden's bill on human trafficking, because it's going to pass if you speak to your own United States senators, because that's how the bills get passed. Now, Dr. Archer mentioned $40 billion, $40 billion industry. That is not chump change. You take one girl, Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, you take one girl out of the ring and you could be losing $1 to $5 million a year in profit. Is that why we need shelters, Jerry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We here in Oregon are also Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. we'll be down at the state legislature to push to pass House Bill 3623, which is going to post 1-800 numbers on every place where alcohol is served in the state. The 1-800 number for help for women who want to get out, for people who see the issue and want to help women get out. We're looking at thousands of stickers being posted through House Bill 3623 Wednesday morning. We, of course, have some other things going on as well. But, yes, and it's going to cost a lot less to help those women get out than what the pimps are making off of them now. And since the conference, one of the Fox's Most Wanted that was posted here in Oregon was actually a pimp was actually apprehended in New Mexico. That's part of getting the word out. It's part of not looking the other way and pretending that these things aren't happening. He was apprehended in New Mexico and is on $1.2 million bail and waiting to be extradited back to Portland.
Now, let me ask you, because I believe I know that case pretty well. For an individual
who was trafficked by that individual that's waived an extradition back to this state, if that victim does not testify against that individual, what are the chances that he will walk?
He will walk.
Okay. So
and
I know somebody is listening right now. I know her personally. I want you to empower her by having a voice for justice with her right now and tell her what she needs to do in order to feel empowered to get on that stand in a couple weeks from now to make sure that man never walks again.
To think about the harm that he's done to several women, and I've got to tell you that this particular person was pimping three of my daughter's friends. As a mother, to watch little children at 9 years of age all come to a birthday party and hang out, and to watch those same young women be abused, and they, some of them have children, to be moved all over, to be beaten, and to have those things happen to them, those things will continue to happen unless you strengthen yourself. The big thing is, I'm a survivor, not more than a survivor, an overcomer, that your life can be whatever you want it to be, but that you have to take that step.
You have to take that step.
And that it will, you can become way more than you could ever ask or expect. If you take that step, there are people there to help you. Your life can be whatever it wants to be as long as you don't continue to stay in that jail. And when we don't turn people in, then we do stay in that jail. We allow them to manipulate us. And we were each put on this earth to be something great. And her greatness is just around the corner.
And having no voice and them getting out, you're actually a prisoner the rest of your life because you're
Absolutely.
Always watching your back.
That's right.
Now, to our listeners, we have a lot of people in the chat line. I encourage you to call in and ask Dr. Dale Archer, Rosie Franco, or survivor Jerry Williams any questions you might have. That call-in number is 347-838-8622. And Dr. Archer mentioned MAD, and I always like to use the example of AIDS. In the 1980s, AIDS was a huge epidemic. In the 90s, we talked so much about it, and we educated, and we advocated, and we protected, and we started to see a decline. In the 21st century, AIDS is on a rise again. And why is that? Because we stopped talking about it. And the same goes for human trafficking. The same goes for breast cancer. The same goes for drunk driving. If we stop talking and educating about it, it's going to continue to be on the rise. It's everybody's business to stand up because we all know somebody that's been involved in a drunk driving accident. We all know somebody with that 80 degree of separation that we know somebody with AIDS or has lived with AIDS. And believe me, I never knew a human trafficking survivor until this past year, and now I know 10. And I'll tell you, every time you hear my voice, you're going to be hearing my heart speak for them. But Dr. Archer, how do we continue to educate and empower these young women, girls, and even boys and men that are sold into not only sex trafficking, but here in America, labor trafficking is on the rise as well.
Right, and I think that the AIDS example that you use is a very good one. Right now in America, there are about 500,000 people that are living with active AIDS, and everyone knows about AIDS. Everyone knows about prevention. Everyone knows about safe sex, and everyone knows about what to do if you come down with symptoms or you think you might have it and how to get tested. That's 500,000 people total right now. Human trafficking in the United States, and that's in America. Human trafficking in the United States, 200,000 a year, year in, year out. So the numbers are staggeringly greater than total active AIDS cases in America today. Yet, I bet the awareness is 9, 10, 11-fold higher for AIDS and HIV than it is for human trafficking. So I think that the getting the statistics out is important. Getting an understanding out there of what comprises human trafficking, I think that's very, very misunderstood. When you talk to people about it, they are under the impression that it only counts as human trafficking if someone is taken from one country and transported to another. And we know that that's not the case at all. Human trafficking is any type of activity where one human being is being held against their will and being used and utilized for, be it sex, which is the most common, or labor, which is still prevalent. So I think that just getting an understanding out there and pounding these statistics in over and over, because at the end of the day, when a person hears these stats and understands them and believes them, no one is in favor of this. No normal person wants this to happen. Everyone would take a stand. Everyone would go to their legislator and say, stop it. But if they don't know, then they can't take that action.
How do you explain or try to encourage people that are in a nail salon getting a pedicure and all of a sudden they see an incline of men going back and forth and one would say, oh, they're getting a wax job or they're getting their eyebrows done. Yeah, right. That's not what's happening. And one of the biggest places that trafficking takes place are in nail salons, hair salons, dry cleaners, things of that nature. How do you encourage our listeners and anyone else out there to take stock to say, listen, it's your business if something is out of the norm. It is your business what your neighbor is doing. How do we get our psyche to understand to make it our business?
Well, I think that it all comes back to, and I know I say this over and over again, but I believe it so strongly that I don't think you can say it enough. It comes back to education and awareness. And I think that you have pointed out probably something that's even harder for people to understand, because that almost implies that they have to take some type of action. But yeah, this does take place in the most benign locations. Who would think that a nail salon or a spa could be a problem? We think of that human trafficking would take place in, you know, houses of prostitution or bars or clubs. But interestingly, the number one most common locale for the sex trade is a hotel. It's not a bar. It's not a club. It's a hotel. So I think that all of these things are just facts that need to be brought up over and over. And eventually, when people start to hear it and understand it and get outraged, which I don't think will take that long. I mean, I really see Demi Moore was on one of the morning shows just a few days ago making a big plea for understanding that we've got to take action here. So I think that it's starting to take effect. Once Hollywood starts to get involved, I think that's huge. And then I think it's a very, very quick next step to, hey, all right, now we know we have a problem. What are we going to do about it? And, of course, that's when the legislators and the laws come into play.
Michelle, that is huge.
Ironic, you just mentioned Hollywood. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, for those that are unaware, last week launched a brand-new foundation called DNA, D, the letter N, and A, Foundation, and it's actually for education and support on human trafficking. So I encourage everyone to, I believe it's demiandashton.org. Take a look at that site. Hollywood is doing a lot of PSAs are out there with Emma Thompson, etc., and we are partnering with many of those folks for our upcoming conference in January 2011, and we will be unveiling that in a couple months to everyone. Rosie, you had something to say?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you do have to get Hollywood involved. When I started looking up the case of Sarah Bazan, I realized Demi Moore had tweeted on the case. I mean, this was, once she was actually interviewed by this youth activist group, the video became viral. People got interested. Here's the thing, you know, Dr. Joe Archer talks about, or you had asked him the question about getting into the psyche, folks' psyche. Yeah, we can, you know, we can pound it as much as possible, and that's what we're trying to do. But, you know, if nothing changes with our law enforcement, as we learn through Dr. Hillard, who, you know, his daughter was taken, she actually flagged down a police officer, and that police officer was on the payroll of the human trafficker slash modern slavery person's payroll. So my point is, yes, we need to have a voice. We need to have a big voice, and we need to have it very quickly, because that's when lawmakers will start to understand and they will start to change, because they realize, okay, this is going to cost me votes. Every time I shake one person's hand, that's 7 votes. This is an issue people actually care about.
Definitely,
yeah,
definitely. And for anyone listening that knows somebody that's being trafficked, or if that is you yourself and you happen to be listening to this show, dial 888-3737-888. Again, that number is 888-3737-888. That is the Polaris Project and the National Human Trafficking Resource Center that we are proud supporters and community partners of. And we encourage you to call them. They can offer trainings for you, your company, your business, your organization, or they can get you help in any state in the country. So give them a call. Dr. Archer, you had something?
No, I was just going to second what Rozzie was saying, that I think that that's one of the big problems on why this is so hard to get the word out on, is because of the fact that there is corruption involved. And there are individuals, whether they be have insider connections with politicians or in law enforcement, that are involved in this, and that's been shown over and over. And I think that that makes it harder, but at the end of the day, she's also right with the fact that a politician wants more than anything else to get reelected, okay? That's their job, and that's what they want. And if the people are making a loud enough hue and cry about this, then it will be a very quick step from going from there to folks standing up and saying, I'm going to make this my cause, I'm going to take action, we're going to pass some laws, and we're going to get this under control.
Definitely. It takes a voice for justice. Jerry, let me ask you, what about individuals that are fighting on the lines? We've got Shared Hope, Transitions Global, Oath. We have some wonderful, the Polaris Project, wonderful organizations out there. And I believe we all believe in one thing. Why is shelter so important to a victim of trafficking?
Shelter is so important to a victim of trafficking because the person who's been trafficked has spent probably a considerable amount of time having a new reality beat into them, brainwashed into them, pushed into them, and for their own safety, their reality has been changed to believe generally the oppressor's reality. And because of that, when they get, if they do escape or they get out, they need a safe place to be so they can become unbrainwashed, so they can be safe, so that they can get the help they need. Many times it's a multi-diagnosis issue. You may have a drug addiction by then, because most normal people do not go out and sell themselves to strangers in their normal mind. You're either afraid and that you're doing it, or that you find some sort of medication to do it. You may split your personalities to do it, and you know, because you're under this much pressure. And I just wanted to go back a little bit to the political piece you were talking about, because the thing that's on my heart most, and it's been mentioned several times, is the case of Sarah Cruzan, who she was, you know, she was pimped out as a youngster, and she got put on and
kidnapped at 11.
Right. And this guy molested her, he treated her awful, and then she was convicted of killing him at the age of 16, and she's now 31 years old. This is a travesty. Every person in California should be calling their politician and saying, you need to get her out of there right now. This man basically threatened her life on a daily basis. He was creating attempted murder on this woman every day, this little girl, every day. as he was pushing her out into the streets. This is awful that this woman is in jail. It's awful that she spent half of her life in jail, and she shouldn't spend another day there. Somebody's got to get, they've got to create the political pressure to get her out. That is insane that she's in there.
And I think that also, Jerry, you know, it's not just in that particular case, but it's very, very common that when law enforcement does get involved and say, we're going to clean this up, they go after the women. They don't go after the pimps. They don't go after the guys who are buying it. They go after the women who have already been put into this lifestyle. So I think there's a huge dichotomy there that needs to change. And I think that that's another aspect of law enforcement that can be brought to bear, because this is something that was done in Sweden where they said, you know, instead of going after the women, we're going to go after the guys that are looking for pay for sex, and we're going to not only prosecute them, but we're going to publish their names when they're convicted. And the rate of prostitution, which of course is a huge outlet for human trafficking, that's where most of the folks end up as prostitutes, but the rate dropped off a cliff in Sweden. So I think that there is some hard evidence there in a Western society that, hey, this is another avenue that we can look at to try to rein this in, because right now it's a very skewed law enforcement environment.
Yeah, and we did the Jane Velez Mitchell show.
Than the victims.
Right.
That's the sad part. They have more rights than the victims. And when President Obama and his administration and everybody down the pipeline say, yes, the dark secret of America exists, we have more slavery today than ever before, and we're going to do something about it, they refuse to do exactly what Sweden did. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah.
We're behind on so much.
Michelle, that's why you're doing what you're doing now. We absolutely have to get a movement going. I know prosecutors in Miami that will not talk to me about this issue because so many affluent people are on the payroll. I mean, it's just beyond us. I mean, imagine if it is the second most lucrative organized crime, do you know how many names will come out?
And
right.
Who are the customers? You have to look at who the customer base is. Who are they protecting? Who is the customer base? And the fact that I had said this on the Jane Velez Mitchell show, and I'm just going to have to keep saying it, I guess. If you're having sex with an underage child, you're breaking the law. You should
right.
be paying for that. Why is it that the child is being blamed for this when these things are happening? Why is it that men are not going to jail for raping underage children? That's what blows me away.
And I think that the other correlation that goes right along this vein is that human trafficking occurs almost exclusively with drug trafficking. The two go hand in hand.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You very, very rarely have one without the other. And what it does is they're just additive criminal enterprises that go hand in hand and profit on each other. And if you attack the human trafficking side, you're also going to make a big dent in the drug side.
We have a few minutes left. What I want to do is give you each time to say what's on your mind, give a reflection of the conference. I hope you all are coming back to join us in 2011. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. and I hope you all be back. I know, Dr. Archer, you all videotaped and interviewed galore at this year's conference, and that will air, I believe, in May, you said. Where can people find information about your show, about you, and some reflection on your experience with us recently?
Well, to start with the experience in Portland, I just can't say enough about what an amazing experience it was, amazing educationally, amazing emotionally, being able to meet survivors such as Jerry and to have a chance to talk with her, being able to talk with some of the folks who are trying to make a difference and listen to what they have going on, the Senator Wyden being an example there, Colonel Hiller. I learned more in that one conference than I have with all of the research and every other aspect of this, which I've been studying for a long time, but that one conference to me just crystallized everything in my mind that I understand, I get it now. So I just think that you guys are on the right track. I think that things like that are what eventually will make the difference. I talk about a grassroots movement, and I really see all of us as being part of this in a very, very early setting that we are getting on board and saying, hey, we got to make a difference, and the way to do this is to talk, 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 educate, educate, educate. And in closing, I want to say, in terms of my show and the video that we shot, we just started editing that today. That probably we're looking at May, I think, when we're going to have that show put together. And what I'll do is I'll have to put all the details on my website in terms of the airing and the time, because I just don't know it at this point.
And your website is linked also to ours. So.
Yes, drdalearcher.com. But in closing, I do want to say quickly that folks need to understand that human trafficking takes many different forms. It's not just a kidnapping. It could be a mother that's selling her child. It could be a child that runs away and ends up in a big city and can't support herself and ends up stumbling into the wrong crowd. But at the end of the day, no matter how they end up in the environment, it is a slavery and they are being held against their will. So that's what I want folks to take home. Any person who is being held against their will and made to do something that they don't want to do is a victim of human trafficking.
Thank you, Dr. Dale Archer. We also have a caller on the line. Let's go to a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for our panel?
I have a statement.
Oh, okay. Please do.
This is Melissa.
Melissa Baum. Hi. How was the search this weekend for Lindsay?
It was actually pretty good. We had some more soldiers come down from Fort Lewis.
Wonderful.
That was helpful, yeah. And the weather held out for us, so that helped too. It was great. And I wanted to say hi to Dr. Archer and Jerry. It's nice to hear them again.
Hey.
Hi. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. And I look forward to your show. I'll be watching for it. So.
Okay. I'll definitely let you know.
The sex trafficking and sex offender issues, we're having a lot of issues with that here in Washington State, and that's something that my entire group is also trying to get involved in and actually writing up a referendum to try and get it on a ballot for harsher punishment. We actually have a sex offender, it's called a sex offender special treatment center on McNeil Island, which is for sex offenders who have completed their prison term but are not yet being released, so they go to this special offender home, which is also on McNeil Island with the prison. Back in September, they had several, I don't want to call them guests, but they're no longer prisoners, residents, that were caught with child pornography. And then on Wednesday, they had 8 more caught with child pornography. Mind you, these are sexual predators who have already completed their sentence for sex crimes against children. And before they are even released back onto society, they have the freedom of the internet and freedom of private mail. And even in these facilities, they can't even manage to show evidence that they're no longer a danger to society.
Well, hopefully they're going back to jail.
Who's funding that?
Who's funding which part? The special treatment center?
Yeah.
It's the state of Washington. When Lindsay was kidnapped, my dad was rebuilding that place on McNeil Island. So he was literally losing his mind having to go to work every day and be around those sickos, knowing that his granddaughter was missing. It's funded by the state.
Yeah, but child pornography is a felony, so I would assume that every single one of them violated probation or back in jail.
Well, it just goes to – well, it hasn't decided because this just happened. This just happened Wednesday.
Well, hopefully that's the case.
But it's a total of, I think, 15 sex offenders that have been caught with child pornography before they're even released back onto society. And that just goes to prove right there that they're not able to be rehabilitated.
No, and actually the evidence is very clear on that there is no treatment for that at this point in time. Studied many, many types of treatment all the way up to castration, which actually is considered cruel and unusual punishment, so can't be used. It does have some benefit, but nothing else has been shown to work. So, I mean, I think that any type of treatment at this point needs to understand that, look, we don't really have a real treatment, and the one thing that we know works is a long jail sentence, because as they get older, they tend to burn out. But otherwise, I am not a big proponent in treatment facilities. I'm a proponent in jail time.
Oh, I know. I don't disagree with what you said about Castor. I absolutely agree. What I think is ridiculous is the fact that it's not something we can use. But also, I think we're protecting them by keeping them in solitary when they're in prison.
Right, yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't be separated. They should be in general population.
Right.
Like all the other murderers and drug dealers and everybody else.
And I don't think they should have access to any computer whatsoever, if you ask me.
Absolutely not.
Only in the special treatment center, not the prison. The special treatment center, they are done serving their sentence. Let me
just say this, and I've got to drop off here because it's raining profusely and I'm driving. Again, we have to change the laws. We have to change the laws. There was a Florida man from Marathon, okay? He was arrested in Phoenix because he was actually being watched. He bought a six-year-old Mexican boy, and he was on his way over there to pick him up and bring him on back home and do whatever it is he had pleased to do with him, okay? Now, he got 6.5 years. 6.5 years, a very light sentence, I think, for his crime.
No,
now,
it's terrible.
Those are our laws, okay? So back to changing our laws. We've got to change our laws. We've got to talk to these politicians. That's the only way we're going to make a difference. And we need to start teaching gender equality in schools, because men aren't going to understand how we're equal to them if we don't start teaching it. I don't know, you know, Dr. Del Archer, you may have a different perspective on that, but there needs to be something on gender equality. I've got to go because it is raining really bad here, and I don't want to get back down.
Okay,
Rosie. I will continue to work so hard on this issue. I just finished a march here in Orlando. We got about 200 people to come out and march. I'm going to Miami, continuing the effort, just doing a lot to help end modern slavery.
Come do one in Olympia.
Yeah. There you go. Come on back to the Pacific Northwest, Rosie.
I work about 50 hours a week, and in addition, I'm doing all this stuff. So I'll tell you, I'm going to remain a force in this movement, and I know that we're going to make a change, and that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for joining us, Rosie. You be safe
thank
on
you.
The road.
Be
Thanks
safe.
For having me.
Melissa, do you have any other – I know that you have a website going on,
findlindsaybaum.com,
mm-hmm. and the reward has gone up to 20,000, right?
We also have a Facebook page.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so if you're on Facebook, folks, what do they search? Lindsay Baum?
I believe it's just Lindsay Baum, yes.
Okay.
I don't do that one either. I have friends that are running those for me because I just stay off that stuff as much as possible. But, of course, I have most of it and links to it on my Facebook page as well. So.
Okay, so anyone listening out there, Lindsay Baum, 10 years old, went missing
11.
From Missouri, Washington at 10 years old. She's now 11. She celebrated many holidays and her birthday, and her website is findlindsaybaum.com, and we need to bring her home, folks. You heard it in the intro from Jane Velez. We need to bring her home, and the young lady she was speaking about was Lindsay Baum, who she was addressing, Melissa, which is her mother, who's on the line with us right now. Thank you, Melissa. Any other
Thanks.
Questions of Jerry Williams or Dr. Archer?
I've got a very strong, very dedicated group of people that we're all willing to go whatever length we have to go to change the sex offender laws. They're very, very loose, especially here in Washington, among others. Ours is, according even to Brad Dennis, ours is looser than others. And, you know, right now they're charging some 12, 13, and 14-year-olds here in Lacey, which is a suburb of Olympia, this past week for sexting because a 14-year-old girl
right.
sent a picture of herself naked to her 14-year-old boyfriend who in turn texted it and, you know, passed it along. And now all these teenagers are being charged, and they're going to be, you know, if they go through and they're charged with a Class C felony, they'll also be required to register as a sex offender, which according
to the
way...
So the kids are getting worse punishment for sexting, which
exactly.
I do not agree with either. I think they should stop that. It's really bad for them.
They should be punished for it, but they don't.
They should
need,
be punished, but yet they're
offender.
Getting worse. They're getting a worse punishment than the people that actually kidnap, rape, murder, and molest our children, and yet they get put up in the Taj Mahal to get reformed. Something
right.
wrong with
the state
this
of Washington.
Picture.
In the state of Washington, if you are on the sex offender registry, after 10 years, if you have no new charges, you can petition the court to be released and removed from the sex offender list. Many
well,
have done Tito that.
Must have lived here at that time that he got out after 11 years.
In
you
2005,
know?
When I was helping a young woman escape a pimp, who was a sex offender, he was a registered sex offender in the state of Oregon. He found out about it and called me while he was standing on my front porch waiting with a gun waiting to kill me. And when the police came, they followed him. He ditched the car, ran away, had pornography under his seat and two guns, and still could not obtain a stalking order, lived for 30 days in total terror because this man was threatening me, and he's a registered sex offender. They should know exactly where to go pick him up, and yet they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. And now they go back to what Dr. Dale Archer is saying about bringing in law enforcement to do their job and forget being on the payroll of the people that they shouldn't be on their payroll.
Yeah, and I think that what Roz brought up, that buying a six-year-old boy, a registered sex offender, buying a six-year-old boy and getting 6 years in jail, that's a travesty. I mean, that should be a 20-year-plus sentence with no possibility of parole.
And then when they do get out, they can list themselves as transient.
Which we saw here in Washington with Anissa Nip, the 14-year-old, that a transient sex offender was unable to, you know, nobody knew where he lived, so they couldn't put out a flyer to the residents, and he picked her up going home and raped and killed her. And yet, you know, just because he's a transient, he's homeless, has nowhere to go, then law enforcement can't distribute flyers for that sex
offender.
And
they can't track
him out.
But the law on that is very specific, that if you, especially with the severe Tier 3 offenders, they're required to register or to check in every 3 months for the rest of their life.
Don't.
So even, I know, they don't, because there are 500,000 that are registered, and 100,000 of those are off the grid. They have no idea where they are.
Right.
But, I mean, that's another part of the, huge part of the problem, is that we have some laws that are in place that can work pretty well, but no one is following up on it. No one is making sure that what's supposed to take place does. And then when you have 100,000 of these that are just out there in the wind, then, of course, that's just one more problem. And typically these are the guys who are out there repeating and offending again.
But even
exactly.
The laws that are in place that work, we had, when Lindsay went missing, we were looking at the local sex offenders, and I was standing in our local police department looking through their clipboard full of sex offenders in our county. There was a sex offender living in the house right next door to our school.
Oh, boy. Well, that's a complete violation. That's a violation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But his registered address was the house next door to the school.
So obviously no
it's
one
like
even
nobody
cared.
Checked the address to see
yeah.
what location it was. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Definitely. Melissa, any other questions for either?
I could go on for hours.
No, you can stay. You can stay with us if you'd like. I just wanted to move on to make sure that the callers know. The number again is 347-838-8622. And if you have any questions for any of the panel, feel free and call in. Jerry, any last thoughts or reflection on the past conference, upcoming educational things going on around the Portland area?
Well, we've got a ton. Of course, you heard it. You mentioned the one tonight. Wednesday morning, state legislature, Health and Human Services, passing that bill to get the 1-800 number, the 188 number plastered everywhere so folks can find help. Monday night, we'll be at the downtown chapel for a grand opening for a drop-in center for women who need help, for folks who need help. On the 11th, I'll be speaking at the Western Methodist Church with the Oregon Christian Center for Christian Values to they have human trafficking groups. We just spoke the other night at the one in Tigard. It's blowing up out here. Get on board. But the thing I wanted to say most is, if you're a victim of trafficking, it's not your fault. People out there you don't even know love you and pray for you every day, and we're here for you. Don't give up.
Thank you. Dr. Archer, any last thoughts?
No. Again, I think that if everyone out there will just remember everything that was said tonight, the fact that this is a huge problem, it's an ongoing problem, 200,000 a year in America, 200,000 a year in America, 200,000 a year in America, and if you have a sister or a daughter or a friend, any young girl out there, because over 50% are under the age of 18, this could happen to them, so you want to remember that and take some type of action. Tell somebody, write your congressman, take some type of action to keep the word going.
Definitely. And the number again, folks, is 1-888-373-7888. That's Polaris Project, the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. That is the hotline that you should embed. Put it in your purse, put it on your websites. Get to know that number. They can connect an individual with any agency that is a community partner of theirs across the country and internationally. So, again, 888-373-7888, PolarisProject.org. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on March 8th. Is International Women's Day. What we're going to do on that date is actually release some information in regards to our plans for the upcoming Northwest Coalition Against Trafficking programs and services coming up. Seroptimus International of the Northwestern Region is focusing on education, informing, and protecting. So we are going to continue to educate, continue to inform, and help raise money for a shelter, which we've identified with the support of law enforcement, the FBI, and many nonprofits on the front lines of this war, such as Shared Hope, Transitions Global, Oath, you name it, they're on the front lines. SARC, Sexual Assault Resource Center in Portland. They are on the front lines of this war. Seroptimus is not here to repeat or compete against anyone. We're here to support their efforts and push this march, if you will, as Roz stated, push this march, because it's going to take all of us. So again, on March 8th, International Women's Day, we will be announcing the plans for the next conference. And until then, you know, Voices for Justice has some great February shows lined up. This week on February 3rd, we'll be joined by Dawn Drexel, mother of kidnapped teenager Brittany Drexel. Many of you might have heard that story, the young girl from New York that went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for spring break last year, almost 1 year to the day. She is still missing, and no new trails to lead to who took her or where she may be. So Dawn Drexel will be joining us with the CEO of Amber Ready. Get to know them, amberready.com. Next Wednesday, February 10th, we'll continue our series, Media Divas Who Make a Difference. And we are so honored and privileged to get to have an intimate conversation with our friend Jane Velez Mitchell. So plan to join us next Wednesday, February 10th. It airs 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. So until we meet again, I'm going to leave you with this thought each and every show. What are you doing to make an impact on our world? Our world. It's one world. We all live in it. $1, 1 hour, or just a hug. That's all it takes, folks. That's all it takes to make a difference in someone's life. So be a hero today. Be a hero to someone that needs it. Until we meet again, good night, and thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.